Today on Real Radio.
In the Judeo-Christian biblical sense, we not only have the name, we have the names of God. But all the names of God that have been revealed to mankind in the Bible, we have His personal name.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher presents the first part of his series called The Name. It's a four-part series based chiefly upon Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6 is among the most quoted passages this time of year. It's a prophecy recorded more than 700 years before the birth of the divine Messiah. It also includes a partial list of his attributes, as our teacher demonstrates, in this presentation that focuses on one of them. Wonderful. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It says, "For unto us a child is born." Notice in your Bibles it's capital C. It speaks of deity. "Unto us a son is given." Divine origin. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, or Governor of Time or Eternity." And of course, the Prince of Peace. Notice that in Isaiah 9:6, that his name, singular, and yet that name, singular, gives birth to a litany of descriptions and names of who God is. When we talk about the name of God, we're talking about the Hashem, the name. And what is the name of God? And you're going to get a little bit of sarcasm out of me in a holy manner. I don't mean it to be rude, but I want to rub it in because it's worthy to rub it in. And that is, as Christians, I don't know if you know this or not, but as Judeo-Christian people, if you're Jewish or if you're a Christian, if you have a Bible outside of any other writings in the world from any other religious group, including Islam or any other group, they do not have the name of their God. They do not have the name of their God. In the Judeo-Christian biblical sense, we not only have the name, we have the names of God. But all the names of God that have been revealed to mankind in the Bible, we have His personal name. We have God's personal name given to us. And this is an amazing thing. By the way, that is an indicator about how much God wants you to know Him personally. Amen. It is an awesome thought that the eternal Creator God would want you to know His name. And so you actually know His name. If you've ever sang the word or said the word hallelujah, Yah. Yah is the name of God. That is His actual name. God is not a name. Like Allah in Arabic is God, but that's not the God, the name of the Muslim God. They don't know His name. He's unknowable. The God of the Bible, though, not only reveals who He is to us, He sends His Son to us that we might know His nature, but He gives us His name. Mark it down. It's Psalm 68, verse 3. "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to," what? "His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him." Isaiah 26, verse 4. "Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." Yah. It's awesome. You know, when we say the word Jehovah, we should never say that. There is no J sound in Hebrew. It's Yahovah. That's what the Bible means when it says that. Jeremiah 33, 2 says, "Thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name." That is the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh. You've seen that statement before, or that name of God, which the Hebrews leave out the vowels. It's YHWH, Yahweh, or we would say Yah. Isaiah 12, 3 says, "Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord," that's Yahweh, "call upon His name, declare His deeds among the nations," or peoples, Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And then, of course, a favorite verse of mine, Proverbs 30, verse 4. This always causes people to kind of take a deep breath. Proverbs 30, verse 4 says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? What a tremendous scripture that is. The name. We look at wonderful from Isaiah 9, 6. The word wonderful right here, jotted down, number one, is that the Christ of Christmas is, in fact, wonderful. This is what the word means. Wonderful in Hebrew is pele. And that word means the marvelous thing. To excite wonder or admiration. To surprise. Something strange, astonishing. That which exceeds natural power. As, in fact, is supernatural. The word wonderful is that which is supernatural. Remember that now. So as we look at this, mark it down. The Christ of Christmas is wonderful, says Isaiah 9:6. You're going to be getting Christmas cards with Isaiah 9:6 printed on it. It's one of the most famous verses regarding Christmas. And you're going to know what it means. That very first word of God, name of God, is wonderful. And it means this. It's wonderful because he's the eternal God come down. Will you mark that down? That's our first consideration. Because he's the eternal God that has come down. And when I say eternal or eternity, I'm meaning that he has always existed in eternity. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that Jesus has never had a beginning. I don't know if you know that or not. Maybe you have a Discovery Channel or National Geographic Channel definition of who Jesus is. If you do, you're in error. The Bible says Jesus has never had a beginning. He will never have an end. The Bible tells us that he's always existed with the Father and with the Spirit. And he stepped into the world in humanity back in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. We'll talk about that later. But because he is the eternal God that has come down, that's why his name is wonderful. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He is wonderful because he's come down. God, the creator, the eternal God, has come to this physical earth. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You say, oh yeah? What's your evidence? Micah chapter 5, verse 2. 520 years before the event, the prophet said, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, the little villages of Judah, southern Israel. Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. Whoever is going to be born in Bethlehem is eternal, and he's stepping into time. That is awesome. John chapter 1, verse 1 begins, and it says, in the beginning, that is the physical universe, was the Word. The word in Greek means that whoever the Word is, the Logos, Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. He was at the beginning. He was there, and then the beginning happened by virtue of him. John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Listen to this. This is Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Skip ahead to verse 14. Chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that awesome or what? Merry Christmas, church. Your God has come down to you. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus responded to his attackers who were challenging his authority. And in John 8, 56, listen carefully now. Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and they saw it, and they were glad. Then the Jews, that is the Jewish leadership, the priest, said to Jesus, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen, and how have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, what does it say? I am. I am. You see how it's in capital letters? That is ego emi. Say, so what? Ego emi is the Greek version of what is found in Exodus when Moses is at the burning bush and Moses says, who do I tell the children of Israel sent me? And God said, you tell them I am sent you. Jesus comes on the world scene and tells his attackers, before Abraham ever was, I have been. Hallelujah. This is the Jesus that we worship at Christmas. How can they take this away from us? They can redefine it all they want. They cannot stop the eternal truths of God. This is an awesome thing. And the Bible says that with that statement in verse 59, they took up stones to kill him. In fact, John chapter 10 makes mention more of that spirit of why they would want to remove Jesus from the public square. In John 10 verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered and said to them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered and said to Jesus, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, what's it say? Make yourself God. People have said Jesus never claimed to be God. I can't believe somebody would be so ignorant as to make that statement when Jesus not only declared himself to be God, he says, I am the great ego eimi. I am the eternal, self-contained, forever one. That is an amazing thing. So don't listen to the public opinion that is uneducated regarding the person of Jesus. Secondly, under this first point in our series, is that the Christ of Christmas is wonderful because he's the interactive God come down. He's interactive. You see, well, that's a modern term. Yeah, but it's a great term. Interactive means it's face to face. You can relate to it. It's relatable. I get a great deal of pleasure to announce to you this morning that my God, the God of the Bible, is a relatable God. Everywhere you go, he's with you and I. You can be right now this morning right here or listening in and you're not even a Christian. You may be hating everything I'm saying. Guess what? Wherever you're at, God is with you. That's true. You're in deep trouble and your life is messed up and you're on your way to hell faster than you can count. But he's there talking to you. He doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to come to know who his son Jesus Christ is, your Savior. When I say interactive, I mean the very meaning of the word, to be in your face. It means to be in a dialogue, that God has come down, that we might know him. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come. You say, why did people have asked, how come Jesus doesn't come now? Or why couldn't I have been born back then to see him? Hey, I don't know those answers to those questions. I just know this, that when the fullness of time had come, the word means at just the right moment, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, which means it's radical. Isn't every man born of a woman? Of course. We all got mamas. Every one of us have a mama. But when the Son of God comes from heaven to earth and is born into this world, it is a big deal to say he is born of a woman. I have people who say, I can't believe in your God because he came down according to your story and became just like us. Yeah? That's called interactive, friend. Don't you want an interactive God? Don't you want to have a God that's with you every moment, at all times and everywhere? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph before they came together, that is, before they had a chance to wrestle, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That's how they broke off engagements in those days. They had to actually file for divorce because an engagement was binding. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is beautiful. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested or revealed to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome statement. All of that said was preempted 743 years earlier by Isaiah and another great Christmas verse found in the Hallmark store today. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What does the word sign mean? A wonder, miracle, a supernatural event. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, if you don't know, means God dwells with us. How great is this? It's Christmas. The greatest message in the world. And outside these walls, the world wants you to be quiet about it. Shh. I say now, I officially commence and recommend all of you to leave this place and greet everyone you can with a Merry Christmas. Just do it. Bug the world with it. Drive them crazy. Tell your kids to go to school and say the unthinkable. Merry Christmas, teacher. Merry Christmas, Mr. Principal. See, my kid will get arrested. Ah, for a good cause, though. Can you imagine? Yeah, this kid's got a record. What is it? Well, he wished his principal a Merry Christmas. I'd like to have that on my record. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive or shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Matthew 1:23 is connected, obviously, to Isaiah 7:14. And that's obviously connected to John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. Imagine that. God in his totality. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No one has ever seen God in his totality. By the way, the Bible says in the end, when you and I get to heaven, we will, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll see him. But the Bible says no one has seen, that's right, no one has seen him yet. But when you get there, you're going to see him in his totality. How's that going to happen? I don't know. Somehow, you will see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Freak out. The Christ of Christmas is wonderful this way. Mark it down, number three, because he's the transcendent God come down. He's the transcendent God. Transcendent means that he is above all and beyond all things. You saw that sunset last night. You see how clear it is this morning to see? You could see coming down from Chino Hills, I could see all the way out to the pass by Palm Springs and Beaumont area, San Jacinto, San Gorgonio. Look at Arrowhead. You could see all the mountains. You could see Big Bear, you could see Saddleback Mountain, you could see all of these great locations. Looking to the west and to the north, you could see Mount Wilson and the antennas there by Pasadena. Amazing beauty. He does that in a moment. He's a transcendent God who gives us things from heaven above, and he speaks to us, and even his creation, though it be fallen, announces to us his profound nature. The next verse I'm going to give you is a profound argument as to why Jesus Christ is altogether above and beyond all others. I'm highly offended, as you are, when people say, well, Jesus is just another prophet. Have you noticed that? If you notice and visit all the other cults of the world, all the cults have regulated Jesus down to being great, but not the greatest. They've got him at parity or a little bit below their prophet or prophets or messengers, not the Bible. No, not true biblical Christianity. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Church, that is a declaration of the eternal transcendent God. Jesus never changes. I am so grateful. He's not going to change his mind. You need to be happy about that. Have you ever had somebody change their mind on you? Well, you know what? I've been thinking. Oh, dear. God, can you imagine? God looking at you and say, you know what? I tell you what, Jackie. I've been thinking, and he will never do that. Ever will he ever change his mind. He can't do it. He never changes. 1 Timothy 3:16, again, one of my favorite verses. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy. It means go ahead and argue, you're going to lose. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh, or was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and what? Received up into glory. Is this not the gospel message? Jesus came, God transcendent to earth, preached the gospel, showed us the way of heaven. And then when we looked at the way of heaven and said, oh my goodness, who can be saved? The announcement was nobody without my blood. And that same transcendent God yields himself to the eternal plan to go to the cross, to die on that cross for you and I. That your thoughts, your temper, your lust, or your pride, or whatever, not mine, yours. Joke, kidding. All of ours, he dies there for us to set us free. It's Christmas. Oh, it makes you just want to run up to a Christmas tree and dive right underneath it and say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Why not? Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, what is his name? Yah is his name. Yes, and what is his son's name? Yeshua. Yeshua, Jesus, our salvation. Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is wonderful in this great name because of this. What does wonderful speak about? That he's the Redeemer. Because he's the redeeming God come down. He's the redeeming God that has come down. Isaiah 44, 6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Whoever the Lord of hosts is, by the way, that is Jehovah God of the Bible. Whoever he is, it goes on and says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Old guy, super old. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. How'd he know? This guy's waiting for the Messiah to arrive. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Thus he must have known that. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, notice this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. It's in Jesus. He's the Redeemer, which you have prepared before all, or the face of the of all nations or peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, thank you, God, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be what? Spoken against. You want to get in a fight? Use the name Jesus somewhere.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, explaining some of the wonderful attributes of the divine Messiah, as was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. The name, that's the title of this five-day series delivered by Pastor Jack and that we're bringing to you this week before Christmas, which means that we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this four-part series, The Name, is a terrific study into the messianic claims, status, and attributes of the divine Messiah, which is why we're making it available to you. Visit realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And by the way, whether you call or click, you can find out about the few openings we have left on our upcoming Israel trip between March 21st and April the 2nd. So again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO, or visit us at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.